Everyone.
Good morning.
It was so good to see you, all of you, once again, and to be here and worship with you and share a word of God with you once again. So thank you for giving me another opportunity. Would you please join me in prayer? Let's take a deep breath. Breath in and breath out. Lord, that we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together will be pleasing to God and blessing to all of us here today. O Lord, and take the center stage of our hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, I've been actually thinking a lot about today and thinking about what can I share with you this morning. And I honestly consider several different topics. But I kept coming back this reality for all of you being in this incredible, incredible season of transition and change. In a few weeks that you'll be blessed with a new pastor, in fact, an incredible pastor in our conference, and all will be well and great and awesome, I'm sure. But of course, many, many adjustments will need to take place also. And that's what happens during this unique season of transitions. And it's not just for Campbell United Methodist Church. Actually, many churches will be experiencing transitions within the next few weeks. It's not just churches and pastors either. When you think about it, the month of June is for many people a season of transitions and change. I mean, think about all these graduations. I know that we'll celebrate class towards the end of the worship service today. But all those graduates, from preschoolers to graduate to make their way into kindergarten, and kindergartners graduate and make their way into grad school, eighth graders into high school, seniors into college, and of course, sometimes college graduates back into their parents' home. And those are some serious transitions and have a potential to turn life upside down. So now the truth is, it's about change, is no matter how positive it is, it's a difficult thing for people to face and handle. But change is, as you all know, more of a norm of life rather than the exception to the rule. We can be not in denial all we want, but change will take place. It's like one of the quotes that I heard. I think he's a businessman, and he says something like this, and change is inevitable, except maybe from a vending machine. I don't really know what that means, but anyway. He's right. Change is unavoidable, and inevitable. And how we deal with it ultimately leads to whether the change is a positive or negative experience, whether it's productive or paralyzing, or whether it produces fruit or, unfortunately, fear. But what I want to share with you today is that there is a choice. There is a choice. And under the great quote I came across lately is this: life is change, growth is optional, choose wisely. Isn't that a great quote? Yeah. Life's a change, growth is optional, and choose wisely. So back to Campbell United Methodist Church. To all of you wonderful people here today, how will you faithfully face the changes, challenges, and transitions before you. I have to say that I'm not the one that is unaccustomed to change. I've experienced many changes in my life, and actually I immigrated from Korea a long time ago to the United States, learning to live, speak, and adapt in a foreign world. And I don't know if you know this, probably don't know this, of course not, but the first place I ever lived in the United States was Texas. Out of all places, it was Texas. I went to seminary in Texas, the land of big hats and big steaks and big everything. At least to me, it felt like it. And can you imagine a Korean, and I used to live in Seoul, it's like a big city like New York, and making that jump from Seoul, Korea to Texas? Even if someone from California to move to Texas, it would be quite a culture shock, right? And can you imagine? That was huge. But that's not all. Like many United Methodist pastors, that I have had my fair share of moving from church to church, adjusting to new ministry, climates and cultures, new congregations and new personalities. And most recently, I am in the middle of these transitions and is experiencing this new change of my baby son, Kevin. Maybe he's somewhere back there, and he knows that I'm talking about him all the time in my sermon, and he forgive me for that, but he's 13 years now, and many, many inches taller than me. And my difficulty of embracing the change of him and growing and up physically and maturing psychologically, emotionally, and mentally makes me want to hold on to that image of sweet boy just running up to mommy and say, I love you, mommy, and I just cuddle, you know. I just want to hold on to that, hold on to my baby. But change is happening, and sometimes change is hard. And some of you may know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? And when I talk about people experiencing or facing incredible changes in life, I've observed that many questions tend to surface in these changes. What will tomorrow bring? How will I make it through? Or can I really move on and move forward? And perhaps one of the greatest questions that is asked amidst of all these changes and transitions is, what now? What now? My guess is that this question has been asked more than once in the life of this church and in the conversation among many people here in this congregation. Because it's difficult to overlook what you all have been went through over the past few years. And whenever I think about the challenges that you all faced, that I'm just so thankful and sincerely in awe of your tenacity, resiliency, and faith. So God bless you for standing strong through all those storms. And I imagine that you have been asking that question, what now? It's a question that many people will ask. It's a question that comes naturally to us as human beings. But I wonder if maybe there is a better question, better questions to raise. And that's not just what now, but more importantly, what next? What next? The first question, I feel like it places us in the mode of waiting, or maybe even reacting to the change, a little passive. But the second question puts us in the mode of really seeking and being intentional about looking forward and moving on from the current moment or even the past to truly strive towards a plan for a better, more positive, more fruitful future amidst the change. Today, from the scripture, we read this scene that it's all we talked about, this change, is like the scene that we just read in Book of Acts, chapter 1. Many of you are familiar with this passage. Today is Ascension Sunday. So it is a scene as after the resurrection and before the Pentecost, which is next Sunday scene. It's in between those two times, the transition times, where Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, gives his final charge to the disciples. And it's important to know that what the author Luke, the gospel writer of the book of Luke and the book of Acts, says here in the prologue to the book of Acts. So this is what the prologue says. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The disciples are aware of these incredible things that have taken place. They had an emotional roller coaster of up and downs, and they experienced the resurrections, they experienced the risen Lord, and they spent time with him. And he reappeared, and he showed many convincing proofs, like Luke says. So what they have experienced should be the things that position them for the faith and boldness and action. And more than that, that Jesus is seen here in this scene, the promising the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to come upon them very, very soon. And then also the poof, Jesus ascends to the heaven and he's gone. What did the disciple do? Probably what many of us would do. They just stand there and looked up to heaven and just in awe, to stare at the sky. Can you imagine that? That is until this two strange, unidentified men in dazzling white clothes appear and ask, in fact, why are you just standing there and staring? Why are you just standing there staring? My guess is that up until that moment, the apostles were just stunned and just looking at the sky and ask questions, okay, this just happened. What now? The question that these two men raise seems to trigger something in the hearts of the apostles. And they break out their like zone out staring mode. And then they start heading back to Jerusalem. And I'm sure all the while asking questions and maybe perhaps, what next? What next? What shall we do? What will be our plan? Where God lead us into? They start asking the better question. The question that would eventually propel them forward and into the future and into being those who would build up the kingdom of God and show amazing, amazing fruit together. Now, granted that Jesus left them with no plan, no budget, no spreadsheets and no manual of how to do church, how to do ministry. There's no transition workshop available to help lead them into change and transitions. They didn't really have a president to look at to as a guidance to what they were to do. It's not like messiahs were crucified and resurrected left and right. you know, actually, it was the first time ever, and it was really the one-time deal. So this is what they did as their response to the question, what next? And I just love the ending of this passage. In fact, the lectionary only cut it until Acts 1 to 11, but I think it should be until 14 because I love this ending of this whole paragraph. Is that this is what we read and this is what they did. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So did you catch that? All these were constantly devoting themselves to pray together. The disciples, the women, all those that followed Jesus, they were together in one place and they prayed. They prayed. Friends, it sounds really simple. But really, I believe the first and most important thing to do whenever anyone faces changes in tradition, especially as a church and as a community of faith, when we are going through the challenges or transitions or unknown in between us two times, that it's easy to get anxious, fearful, withdrawn, or sometimes in paralyzed, feeling like we have lost control. But the truth is that we have not lost control. And we're not without the option to choose wisely. So as a community of faith and a follower of Jesus Christ, just like the one in the first century, I think it is really important for us to get together and pray. The prayer is not as a last resort, but prayer as really for our very first. And it's not a lesser option, and is a better and actually best option. Prayer ultimately opens us up to discern what God is leading us to into the next amazing phase of Campbell United Methodist Church and help us just open up to this possibility and be ready, intentionally ready, to receive the better and greater and newer things to come. And I'd like to share a little bit personal note here that before St. Paul, that I used to serve in a very small congregation up in Walnut Creek. And when I first appointed there, that I have to say that I was going through a huge transition in my personal life. And I didn't particularly feel so great about myself either. It was too much unknown and too much things to deal with. In the midst of it all, here I was appointed to a new church. But when I got there, I mean, I was just overwhelmed by the welcoming and love. And what they told me was when they learned about their previous pastor of 9 years moving to some other places, the first thing that they got together, decided to get together and to do, is to do the 24-hour relay prayer. So each person signed up 1 hour each, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And they told me that we really believe that you're answer to our prayers. Now, I have to say that what it felt like was they, before even they met me, they decide to love me. They decided to work with me. They decided to be excited about my coming. What I realized, it was they had a choice. And it was about who they were. It was not really who I was. And because of their love, their intentionality, and because of who they were, I had one of the best time of my life, the best experience of being in ordained ministry. And then that congregation, that experience, that years, I cherish forever, and it's my heart. And I learned that they made that choice in the transitions, and it showed that who they were as a congregations. And I realized that's what brought amazing year that comes after. So friends, and my hope and prayer today is very simple. And my prayer for all the graduates, it's the same simple. When you're going through just transitions and change for the next few weeks, that I hope and pray that you spend some time together as a community of faith and fervently praying for the next, for the Campbell EMC. Sure, you need to maybe get a lot of things ready, maybe parsonage, maybe compensation package, or your leaders you need to get together, and you need to fill in a new pastor with things going on at the church. But in addition to all of that, what if you just come together as a community of faith in prayer? Prayer for discernment, prayer for hope, prayer for future, and pray for Holy Spirit just pouring out on Reverend Kathy McShane, and the Holy Spirit pouring out to all of you and Campbell United Methodist Church, your faithful members and leaders of this church. Prayer for continued steadfast, and on top of that, prayer for revival. Prayer that Jesus would be the center of it all, no matter what you do. And a prayer for changed lives, for the building up the kingdom of God. So just imagine that for Campbell United Methodist Church, what's next is going to be the most amazing, most spiritual, spirit-filled, and most blessed season of ministry that beyond anything that anybody can ever imagine. Change is inevitable, friends. It's coming, whether we like it or not. And I believe that you will all choose wisely. And first and foremost, you will remain together in prayer. Amen? So let's do this right now. Let us pray. Oh Lord, that we give you thanks for your presence in the Campbell United Methodist Church, that you've been with them and through thick and thin, you've been through with up and downs. Lord, that we believe and trust that you will lead them into the next phase of their congregation life together. That amazing, amazing future. Just something that even beyond our imagination, oh Lord, that we believe that you prepare the future for them. Oh Lord, that we pray that they will be all together, that in love, and cherish the relationship, cherish the ministry together, and cherish the passion for you and passion for just building up the kingdom of God. We pray that through many lives, through the Campbell of United Methodist Church, to be changed and transformed, and they all may know your love and experience your grace in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.